Listen, okay, we don't have mega sponsors like some of your other podcasts. What do I always tell you, folks? It's grassroots podcasting, baby. But I want to use our platform to shout out some cool folks doing some cool work, especially in our Chicago community. So head on over to YouTube and check out D&D PSAs. D&D PSAs is a web series that lets the wackiest characters from your D&D campaigns finally speak their mind. Every 2 weeks, you'll hear from barbarian librarians, that's hard to say, barbarian librarians, goblin lawyers, and so many more, all played by some of Chicago's finest comedians. So crit on your investigation check by searching for Creative Juices 7th on YouTube. That's all one word, Creative Juices 7th. And that's 7th with a 7 and a TH. D&D PSAs, all the fun of D&D and none of the scheduling. Also, if you have little ones and live in the Chicagoland area, check out Filament Theater's Cloudman, now running through April 21st. It tells the tale of Claudia, who has always had her head in the clouds. She is a cloud expert, and all her life she has dreamt of seeing a Cloudman, an extremely rare creature who lives a quiet life high up in the sky. Follow the clues to the very top of Cloud Mountain, where the views are always surprising. If you're lucky, you may see something very special indeed. This is designed for ages 4 through 7, but all ages are always welcome at Filament. Tickets at filamenttheater.org. All right, nerds, get after it. Champions from games yet played. This is The Pod Has Been Cast, a sci-fi tabletop role-playing podcast. In this campaign, we're taking you into the solar punk world of Beyond the Fray. Who's playing with me today?
Well, hi there, hey there, ho there. My name is Alina, and I go by they, them pronouns with a preference for my name, and I will be playing Spica, whose pronouns are she, her.
Hey, y'all. Welcome. My name is Bianca Phipps. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm playing Magnolia, who uses she, her pronouns.
Well, howdy, ding, dong, dowdy. My name is Carlos Olmedo. Get on in here. He uses he, him pronouns, but I'm also playing Gaius Borealis, who uses he, him pronouns.
Hey, hi, hello, and my name is David. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm going to be playing Sky, who also uses he, him pronouns.
Well, I declare welcome in. My name is Jules. I use they, them pronouns, and I'll be your referee this evening. Now, before we tip off into our game this evening, let's chat a little bit about what makes this world so special.
Hi, welcome back. It's me. I'm going to find it. Hi. Welcome. Thanks for coming. As per usual, we will be discussing some world building details using the game Detail, designed by Declan Lothian. Today, our one word prompt is celebrity.
This is for the showstoppers themselves.
I know. I thought it might be kind of fun.
I like that a lot.
That's easy.
All right,
well,
easy.
If you're ready.
That's easy. Do another
that's
one.
That's easy.
Reroll.
Carlos, right. Fire
Let's
off.
Let's go, Carlos.
Okay, all right.
You can start
turn.
It off.
I'm not even going to talk about Booster Ball celebrities. We're going to change it up.
Nice.
Yeah. So actors are huge in the world of the fray. Like, I think storytelling is a huge part of survival. And with the technology that they have, they really admire actors who can emotionally portray the history of the Grow. And I will say, this is something, like, so there's, like, puppetry, shadow puppetry, things like that. I think, like, something that's really popular are narrators. I think, like, narrators who tell, like, actively tell the stories of puppets and actively tell the stories of all these shows, that's like a huge, like, that's like the highest role that you can get. That's like what DiCaprio would be booking.
I see. Oh, I love that. Nice.
What was the word again?
Celebrity.
Celeb.
Leonardo
CelebrityC-E-L-E-B-R-I-T-Y.
Word.
Celebrity. Carlos was like, it was so easy.
Yeah. I was like, that's what I was going to say. No.
That's what I was going to say.
Kick my feet up for this one.
And also, like, I will say, this was a very new session. Nobody has a gun to their head if we don't have four different things. We don't always have to have four different things.
Then that's okay.
I have one.
There. Great. I do too.
I think that the older people in the world just by definition have more celebrity amongst them, and I think a lot of that is because of the events that happened prior to this world existing, just the mere fact that they are closer to that establishes and adds a level of reverence to them that other, especially younger people, kind of just value, for no other reason than because it literally just celebrity kind of was adopted from respecting your elders. It's just everyone respected the eldest people.
That, you're not gonna believe this, that actually was what I was gonna say.
Right. Wow.
David ate my homework.
I know you guys aren't going to believe me, but I
but
did.
That's really what I was going to say.
I wrote down elders. I really did.
I like
that's
that.
That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. I think that means that it's definitely true.
I think that's definitely true, yeah.
I have one thing to say, and I will bring it back to Booster Ball. I'll go against the grain.
Yeah, God forbid.
I think.
Fucking nerd.
The first, like, 10 seasons of Booster Ball. The jerseys and such were sent to the Ark of the championship teams for preservation and record keeping. And then around like year 10, the people who were still planet side were like, wait a minute, we want those. Those are ours and we should get to keep them. There was like a big sort of like movement to like return players' jerseys, like championship jerseys, to where they belonged. And they're now like, I think each group faction has their own way of like housing those, but I think that it was like there was a moment where they were all going up to the Ark, and then there was a bunch of people who were like, no, give those back. And then they did.
Those don't belong in space.
Those don't belong in space. Just because you've got climate control.
Well, let's keep all that in mind as we dive into this week's game. So where we left off, you all had a bit of a montage time. We went over about a 2-week period of time in which you were spending time training and getting to know one another, getting to know your world a little bit better. Some of you made break moves, and some of you just took some time to maybe make connections with other characters in the story so far. And we find you now outside of the Clara story. This is the gym where the angels practice. Yearly, you all sort of trade off this particular game, this first matchup between these two home teams, whose gym you do it at. You never do these in the big stadium. These are always like at somebody's home gym. These are very like think like Cubs and Sox kind of like friendly rivalry of just like being in the same city and you're the top two teams. You stand before this tower. This is near the park that is now kind of overgrown with grow, twisted vines coming up out of the ground. You can hear like sounds of nature coming from this huge like acres of parkland that is now kind of inaccessible because of the grow, and these like ring of tall buildings around it that used to be beautiful luxury condos in a time before darkness, and now most of them are home to scavengers from time to time or just set vacant. But one of these, the tallest of these buildings, is the clerestory, where the angels practice. You all arrive at around the same time, we'll say. Some of you still have your conditions that you're dealing with from your last game. Some of you are still feeling a little overeager. Some of you are still feeling a little exhausted. And those will come into play if you don't find time to clear them before the game starts. Oh. Sorry.
No.
That's how it goes.
That is the break.
You have yet to see... Lakeside turn up. It seems like Lakeside is running late. You all are sort of early to kind of get, you know, warmed up and get into your gear before things get going. Kind of tell me, Mags, like what's going through your head right now?
I think that Magnolia is familiar with this space. I think there was probably like a brief period of time when she was up and coming that she was considering the Legends of the Angels. And also like there's history here, right? We go back and forth every year. So just sort of like getting used to it. I think she is feeling definitely a little overwhelmed from like the knowing that like at some point Empire is going to turn the corner and be like, hey nerd, saw you posted a picture on the internet. I'm gonna have to deal with that. But also realizing like, okay, this is my first game. So she is sort of like moving through the like locker room area and is like in the hallway, just trying to take a moment to herself. I think there's a small part of her that is like trying to see like if the other team is like around, just to like kind of like get a sense of like who is still here that she would know.
Totally.
But is mostly just taking a moment to try to like center herself before this game.
Yeah, and what serves as the locker room, so what you would know, Mags, is the actual court is in the like rooftop terrace of this building. And you are like kind of in the below floors, what were probably once luxury condos, now kind of hollowed out places where you see like lots of graffiti kind of up in the wall and artwork and things like that. And this is kind of the space where the teams get ready. You and the angels share a floor that's like sort of separated by a hallway, and a staircase that runs up to the roof. So you could venture over to their side if you're curious, but I think what I want to know, so this is kind of a historic rivalry between the angels and the legends. So yeah. I want, let's have Spica tell me something that is true about this rivalry.
I think that very few times there has been a player who like left one team specifically to go to the other team, but in a way that was like very sneaky. like I think that in the past, like maybe like the Angels coach has like taken meetings with a particular player or whatever. And the few times that that's happened, they really have held it against one another.
And let's say, Sky, what is a tradition amongst these two teams when they collide?
I mean, I don't see how it couldn't possibly be anything other than some classic high school hijink pranks.
Like, yes.
Like fully like stealing each other's mascot, like like going like the whole nine, like spray painting our mascot over their gymnasium kind of thing. Like that's like there's no way it's not that.
Fabulous.
And I think that's the week leading up to a game between.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so then I will say, Gaius, since you are the newbie to this team, during this week, there was a prank that the Angels pulled on you specifically. Or at least, like, you may not have been the target, but you were definitely the one that fell for it. What happened?
I think what happened was I eagerly opened the door and a bucket of glue poured over me. Yeah, it was just glue.
Oh my God.
I just got covered in glue.
You got glued.
I got glued.
You got glued.
And then it was really awkward because it was supposed, they thought it was going to be the whole team, but it was just me. And they didn't recognize
so
me.
Much glue.
So the whole gym is just silent and all you hear is, and there's like a little bit of like confetti that like covers me in their
in their colors.
Colors.
That's so funny.
That is so
and I,
good.
And I go, is this where the locker rooms are? Or
in a bucket?
I'm a little lost.
Glue.
Fabulous.
Get glued.
Get glued, guys. By now you have like taken some time to clean yourself off. just like a little polite ribbing between the two teams, Empire and the rest of the team, like, kind of come over and they actually like bring you all little tokens, like little bits of like maybe like a bracelet kind of put together of like different pieces of scrap or like a like weird kind of like toy that someone had made out of just some junk that they found. And they sort of like, you know, give you all these. The energy seems very warm from them, even though, you know, as soon as like the match is on, it's going to get very violent.
Yeah.
And Empire will come up to you, Magnolia, and sort of give you a hug. Empire is very tall, sort of has like a model-esque kind of frame, but they have these like kind of dark, heavy eyebrows and a scar on their chin. And their hair sort of sits like a nest kind of on the top of their head, like a crown almost. And they like kind of put you in a big hug and they're like, Magnolia, I loved your photograph.
Thank you. I thought it was a pretty flattering angle.
I'm jealous. You're so beautiful.
Oh, thanks. What are you, buttering me up for the competition?
I think we're going to have a lovely time together.
Me too.
Now, everyone's wondering, what happened to Reginald?
Oh, and Magnolia kind of looks back and then like looks forward and was like not anticipating that question. No one has been asking her about Reginald. Everyone has been asking her about Root. So to hear a different name is like such a relief. And Magnolia's like, oh, he pissed off. I don't know. He couldn't handle it. He didn't want to play anymore. So he left.
She sort of like gives like a look at you, like the what's kind of left of your team. And she sort of gives you a smile. And she's like, well, I can't wait to play the new Legends.
Yeah, me neither.
I swear to God, Jules.
What?
Sorry.
What did I do?
Sorry, that was fully involuntary of me.
It just came out. I ignore it. Don't mind him. I think you'll find we've got some fun surprises up our sleeve.
She's like sort of gives you a kiss on the cheek. And scoops up the rest of her team as they sort of head out. From behind you, Gaius, as you're still like trying to like fix yourself up after being covered in glue, you like feel like someone sort of tug at your hair, and they say, "Miss a little bit of glitter."
Oh God, this was the grossest shower I've ever taken, and I turn to look at who it is.
You'll recognize this person. This is the girl that helped you your first day trying to find the gym. She is the cat-like woman.
Yes!
That's what I say. You're the cat-like woman.
I'm the what?
Sorry. I wanted to apologize. I didn't get a chance to say anything. You kind of ran off, but...
You ran off? You had to call your friend?
I look around and I lean in really close. I go, I didn't actually have to call my friend.
I know.
I had to use the bathroom.
Because of the hot dog. Yes, I understand.
I ate a hot dog. Yeah, it made me really sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Gaius Borealis.
Caspian.
Caspian. Wow. It's very nice to meet you. Are you on the Angels?
Yeah, I'm on the Angels.
That's amazing. I have to tell you, I'm so excited for this match. I think like the history of our two teams is super cool, and I can't wait to, you know, make each other stronger.
Damn. I'm really
as I'm like dragging this like duffel bag in, exhausted. I think I barely pull it.
Yeah, she gives you like a crooked sort of smile and kind of rolls her eyes, and she goes to leave, and she turns and she says, "What position do you play, by the way?"
I'm the team striker.
Huh. This will be fun. And she slinks off.
Oh shit. I'm going to write the intimidated condition. Yeah. Terrified out of my fucking mind condition.
Spooked.
I'm a little spooked.
Lakeside makes his way up into the locker room. He looks a bit, or I should say, they look a bit haggard. Their hair is kind of disheveled. They like sort of have dark circles under their eyes. Looks like maybe they haven't slept too well. And they're kind of like leaning in the doorway, sort of watching you all. You see just like the slight figure of Laurel like popping out from behind them. Laurel this time has like half of their face painted the purple and green of the Legends, and the other half painted the yellow and
orange
Whoa. Of the Angels,
complementary colors,
and sort of like looks bashfully at you too as Laurel is repping both teams for some reason.
Hey coach. Hey kid.
Hey captain, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, sure. Well, okay, what's up?
Listen,
are you okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay.
Just, you know, I want you all to go out there and give it your all.
Uh-huh.
But remember, you only have to win two of these matches. So, it's okay if you don't win this one.
Thanks. I mean, we're not planning on losing, but I guess I appreciate the, that you're not putting the no pressure. Is there any specific reason that you're worried about this game in particular?
I'm sure you're going to be just fine.
And you see, like, Laurel sort of tugs on your jacket. And I don't know why you're wearing a jacket. I just decided
I love wearing jackets. Magnolia loves a good jacket.
Laurel famously tugs on your uniform and says, "My mommy's the other coach."
Oh, that's why. I see. And I sort of like get down to like my hands are on my knees. So I'm like eye level with Laurel, and I look up at Lakeside and I'm like talking to Lakeside. I'm like, "Your mom is the other coach. That makes sense. I was wondering why your face was painted two different colors."
Because I don't know which team I want to win, because I like the Legends, but I also like my mom.
And of course you do. Why wouldn't you like your mom? Tell me, did your dad didn't happen to put any money on this game, did he?
Laurel sort of looks up, and Lakeside just gives them like a death glare. And Laurel just sort of shrugs.
That's all right. Well, as long as you're still cheering for us too, I guess it's good that you have scavenger pride.
Yeah, your gang is all there. Tazane is doing some workouts, getting a nice pump before you all start. Rowan is eating some snacks, kind of in the corner by himself. And do the rest of you want to do any break moves before you start? Some of you have already used break moves, I think, but I think a couple of you maybe haven't yet.
Sky just showed up.
Thank. There's a moment. I'm imagining like this conversation with Lakeside is happening like right outside the door. Like Laurel's there, and so like Magnolia's like talking to this child, and then sees Sky walks up, and it's like, "You're so lucky. There's a child in between us." Or I swear to God, I'd have to throw it between my teeth. Get in there.
Guy, do you have anything to say for yourself as you show up incredibly late for this game?
I sure don't. I have like hangover sunglasses on. and I just like, I walk in and I just kind of like, I shoot Magnolia a finger gun and then I just walk right past.
She's like, he's good at the game. We need him alive. He's good at the game. Okay, kids, see you out there. I got to go talk to the team.
Hell yeah. Sky, did you make a break move last time we played? Do you remember?
I believe last time we played, yeah, I think technically yes, because it was I think I was reaching out to Gaius, and then I got the sweater.
Oh yeah.
During that, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think that was a break move. I think that was just a move. That we just did.
Fair enough. That was just some narrative.
Just some narrative flair. Yeah. But yeah. If you want to take a break move before this game, I'll give you the opportunity.
I don't.
Now.
I see. Otherwise, I hate to be this person. I, David, would love to, but Sky just wouldn't.
Yeah. No, and that makes sense.
That's fair.
And I gotta respect it.
He just rolled in with an iced coffee, sunglasses, and half an eaten and half a bagel. Like, and he's just like, "Let's fucking go."
I don't need a stretch. Cool.
Actively choosing to surpass a break move, I'm gonna go ahead and say, Magnolia, move your relationship with Sky down one.
Let's see if it can go any lower. Let me look. Let's see.
Yeah, if it's
let's
already see. A negative three, then leave.
No, it's a negative two. So now it's okay. A negative three. Just that like eye twitching, like, oh my God, a gray hair grows.
Then I remember, Magnolia, you gathered intel. Spica, you did joint training. Mm-hmm. Gaius, you did the community one, right? The
catch up,
right. Okay, cool. Yeah. So then we're square. So you all head up. Ready or not to the court. Imagine this like beautiful curated rooftop garden. In the center of it is the booster ball square. And there are buildings on all sides where you see people have like kind of gathered on stands. There are also some people in higher up buildings looking down out of windows at you. Immediately as you kind of step out there, the crowd just starts cheering. This is probably the first time, at least this season, that you have like performed for a real crowd. And it's a lot of just like regular Last City folk. You make your way out, a local legend. This is a speaker for the Shadow Puppet Theater. His name is Broadway. Who's like sort of got this like beautiful like velvety voice. Is kind of like there, like greeting you all as you come up. Looks like he's kind of like the announcer sort of for this like event. Kind of shakes all your hands as you make your way in, and the angels are sort of already like they come up in like a tight line, like marching like one after the other, and then they're like immediately go to places and like all standing in the same like kind of like pose, like ready to go, as you all kind of saunter up. They look very serious.
And we are serious. We just look cool.
You just look cool. Is there anyone that anyone is searching for in the crowd as you all kind of take your places?
Yeah, I think Magnolia is looking to see if either of her parents are there.
Yeah, Mags, I think both your parents would be there. Yeah, definitely.
I give them a big wave.
And since they're like sort of family to the team, they'll be like on the terrace with you. So they're kind of like seated, like kind of off to the side near some like trestles and like some, you know, shrubs of tomatoes or whatever the fuck that are growing up there.
It's beautiful.
They like sort of wave as you kind of pass by. Anyone else?
I think Spica looks over where Magnolia is waving and also waves at them when she sees who it is, and then can't help but like panic scan for her mother.
Here's the thing. Spica, you see her. Your mother is not on the roof. Your mother is on like a neighboring roof with a few other grow whispers. It looks like they're in a, like a little bit more of a quiet sort of section. They're sort of like politely applauding, but they're all sort of wearing the same kind of like robe looking wear, and you know, she sort of looks over as you make eye contact and gives you like just like a weak smile.
I think I freeze and then I look down really quickly.
Yeah Spica, I think in that moment, you know, your mother has known that you were here the whole time.
Yeah. I think Magnolia turns over her shoulder and is like, "Did you bring that extra tablet and give it to her after the game?" Shut up.
Gaius, Guy, anyone you're looking for in the crowd?
No, I think
No.
I think maybe there is someone, but I think what's happening with Gaius is that in his mind, he's like completely focused on the match, and he's like he thinks that he's like in the zone, but from an outsider's perspective, he looks completely horrified. He's like pale, and he's just like, as we're walking to where we're supposed to go, he's just like trying to like look forward and not get freaked out.
Yeah.
He's doing that face where you're like trying really hard not to look like you're freaking out, but then you look like you're freaking out because you're trying so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. And this is, yeah, that's actually a good point, because we need to bring up like kind of where this game is sitting. So this is a season game, which will be middle tense of our scale of casual tense, crushing. This is the middlest tense. And I think for you, Gaius, it is one above that.
Yeah.
The middlest tense.
The whole like leading up to this moment, like this talk of like Beacon of Hope, the Beacon of Hope thing, like didn't really bother him until the actual match started. And like, there's all these people now actually watching and like, he's like, oh, so yeah, it's intense.
Sky, what about you?
I think Sky doesn't look for his mom. And honestly, I think very specifically, just kind of keeps head like more toward the ground. Still sunglasses on, and he kind of like walks out, but he does listen, because he can always hear when his mom is nearby, not by like any other stretch other than because he knows how people talk when she's around.
Oh, totally.
And so like he can hear like a crowd fawning over mom.
You don't hear that fawning, and I think, you know, whether that is a relief to you or if it like kind of stings that they kind of made you do this and they're not there to watch. But we flash back for just a second to the last time you saw your mom. And this was a little after that riot down in the Harbor District.
Yeah.
And I think you were in the watchtower and you hadn't seen her maybe for a few days. And she like kind of finally is like poking around through the watchtower. And you catch a glimpse of her, and she's got like kind of like a bandage over part overhead, and she just kind of like looks at you, and she looks sad to you, Sky, something that you're not really used to seeing, just for a second, and then you see her expression sort of harden.
I mean, I know we lost, but I didn't think it was that bad.
You have a game next week, right?
Yeah,
the angels?
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
Oh, I thought... Thanks for saying that. I've been calling them the angles for a week.
You know, I think your team is going to take this very seriously.
And I'm very glad that they will.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it out.
I didn't expect you were going to be at every game. If I'm honest, I don't think you need to be at any game.
I just don't want you to think I don't. Just things are tense in the city right now.
I gathered.
When the gardeners come up for your matchup...
Yeah.
I think I'll have some use for you then, if you can behave yourself.
I'm listening.
We'll talk more after your game. I'll be checking in with Lakeside to see how you're progressing.
Fine. That's fine.
We're back up on the terrace, the crowd roaring around you. Sky, you perhaps 100 miles away. As we begin, the game starts off and immediately you are overwhelmed by the speed of the angels. They play fast. They just sort of know each other in that way, where they are just like making passes and tosses to each other that are second nature. And they're playing at a speed that you're just not used to from scrimmaging against one another. Out of the gate, they score the first couple goals, but you are able to hold your own a little bit. One of you attempts to kind of break their lead and take momentum. This is the first tip-off of the game. Who is the one that makes that change? Or attempts to make that change, I should say.
I don't think it's me, because I think I'm like a step behind. I'm like lagging a little bit.
Okay.
Makes yeah. sense. I think that it would be me, unless someone has a really strong inclination for their character to do so. But if not, I feel like Magnolia would be, like, having talked to Empire in the room, and like, this is the first game of the season, and my parents are here, and like, wow, we're playing. So Max would probably be the one to do that.
Okay, cool. So then you are going to roll plus, oh my gosh.
Power?
Mm-hmm. Is that tip-off? Is tip-off power?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, roll plus power, you are going to roll with a minus two.
Why?
Because they're faster than you, Magnolia.
No!
My worst nightmare!
Okay, so I rolled... two dice and take the lower, or three dice and take the lower?
So how many would you roll normally?
Normally, I have a zero, so I'd roll two and take the lower.
Okay, so, oh wow, so I don't know if you can do worse than that, actually.
Okay.
Fun.
So yeah, you would roll three and take the lower, yeah.
Okay, well. Okay. Well, that's a two.
Okay.
It's a two. It's a two.
A two is going to fail. Your enemy sees momentum. So right now they have started their first play clock and they have momentum. Magnolia, you go in. The game's already started. They've scored the first few points. Nothing you can't catch up with. And you decide to rally, push your team, and just give it right back to them. What goes so terribly wrong?
What goes so terribly wrong is that Magnolia is... I hate to say it, but she's getting old. And she is it's her last year. And so I think that like she pushes herself to go and is like expecting the team behind her to be different and know her the way that her old team did. And it's the mismatch of those two things. It's that she's not as strong as she used to be. And it's that her team is different and she's not accounting for that. And she just whips it. I mean, I think that like takes a tumble, which is unlike her because she's up in the air, but like goes for the ball and misses completely and has to like really like pick herself back up. But it's definitely embarrassing, I think, above all else.
Totally. And I'll say this weakness that you have, that you are just past your prime a bit.
Yeah.
That sounds harsh. That sounds really harsh.
I know.
23.
It's, really
it's like.
I know. 23.
Jesus.
But, you know, that's actually a really good point. So, boosterball is an extremely physical sport. Yeah. You take a lot of hits, it's tough on your joints, and you train so hard for it. So, even at 23, like, your body just isn't responding that half second faster that it needs to. Yeah. And your enemies seem to know this, Magnolia, and they're exploiting how slow you are. With me having momentum, I am going to decide the flow of game and say, Gaius, you're also lagging and you're probably the most tense out of your team. I'm gonna send it your way next.
Okay. I guess, like, what I'm going to do is, in order to try and, like, center myself, because I'm like, oh my god, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm going to try and lean on Sky a little bit, who's a little more laid back. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to assist Sky. I'm going to start setting up shots for Sky. So I'm going to roll for that.
Are you assisting or passing?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm assisting. I'm assisting.
Cool. I was just checking.
Yeah, so you're rolling relationship with Sky, right?
Yeah. So I rolled 1-6. So that's 1-6 plus 1. So now you have two die, extra die, right, for the next roll?
Correct, yeah. So, Sky, you have plus 2 to your next roll. My moves are not triggered by assist. That's sort of like a free, cool thing that you can do. And it immediately passes over to you next, Sky. And you see Gaius is setting you up the way that you need to score. Now, Gaius has sort of taken the forward position, and you are on center, which, you know, the practice game was one thing, but Lakeside just sort of keeps putting you center. I don't know how you feel about that, but you are sort of excelling in that position. What do you do?
If anything, I think this kind of, it feels weird, because I think in this moment, in this situation, Sky sees what Gaius is doing, but also, having come into this as technically a forward, he like is like, that's not what I was. This was the original plan. I don't do that anymore. What are you doing? Like, I mean, I'll try, sure, but I do this now. I'm confused.
I'm different.
I don't know what to do.
I need you, Sky. Please.
I mean, sure. I'll fucking try. I get okay, sure. I think he just kind of starts trying to let loose and starts taking it. I think he starts trying to take it up more up to the goal a bit. Just because like it's probably unexpected, because it's certainly unexpected for Sky. And with him being so used to playing center and everything, I think that's just kind of where he goes. And I can't really think of any other move other than overpower.
Overpower, yes. Great. When you try to break through their defenses using might alone.
That makes the most sense to me, and that will give me a plus 3 to this roll.
All right, let's see it.
Now, please clarify for me.
Yeah.
I roll 3 dice and take the highest?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a 6.
Oh, wow. Yay! Hell yeah.
Yay!
Do I roll the other 2 or no?
Yeah, because you might crit.
Why not?
Ooh, yeah.
Crit.
That's a 5.
Okay. You were rolling these slow.
I only have one die. And that is another 6.
Really?
Yeah!
Oh!
That's wild. My okay. Hell yeah. So on a 6, you fill in one segment of a play clock and give one enemy player or play the temporary dazed weakness, which goes away at the end of the key moment. On a crit, you do both twice. Now, here's the problem. You all do not have a play clock.
No, we do not.
So this is a situation in which you would have been really set up to have like a really great moment. But this is just a...
If this isn't the most Sky thing I could think of, no. I don't know what would be.
It's like kind of like, you know, the team's still doing pretty poorly, but the announcers are sort of like, oh, that looks like Sky has got a great form over there, being set up nicely by the young Gaius. Impeccable form for a center. But still, your team is like not scoring any points.
It's like showing up and getting a 34 on the ACT, but I showed up at the test where I'm supposed to be taking the SAT instead.
Yep. Yep.
Now, yep. All that being said, you still get to give them the dazed weakness. You can give this to now 2 players or a player and their play clock.
I'm going to give it to both of their flyers.
Nice.
Both of their flyers? Okay, cool.
Whose names are...
Those were, listen, I named 3 of these players and none of them were flyers. So
you only had 6 to name, Jules. You just quit halfway through.
Well, okay. The way the game works is like only pick a couple of the enemy team to like be the standout characters. Sure. You don't need to play 6
people. I guess we don't need their names.
So here's what I'll actually say. No, fuck you. Your choices are Empire, who is the center, the forward, Caspian. The Catwoman, I guess. And their court guard, whose name is Montgomery.
Okay. So the two unnamed flyers are dazed.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool.
2 dazed flyers. And that is a weakness you all now have to exploit. Fabulous. In response to that, sort of seeing like your good form, it does like frazzle their flyers. But what is interesting about how the angels play is they all kind of play like flyers. You notice that they really don't need to be on the ground very much because they are so good at quick passing, that they are just sort of constantly buzzing around. So even taking 2 of them out, they're able to compensate using a combination of Empire and Caspian. Caspian, who you see, is sort of like this, almost like a lurker, almost like a stealth bomber, like kind of fades into the background. And as soon as the perfect shot shows up, Caspian comes out of nowhere and scores these points. So the enemy team is going to push in. They're going to fill in 2 segments of their play clock. And that is going to be, let's say, we just heard from Gaius and Sky, Spica.
Spica is going to strategize. Spica is overeager and also real frazzled from seeing their mom. But I think they just get into this like laser focused like zone. So while being overeager, they're just like ready to have a say and like really get into the middle of everything right away. Sees Magnolia take this like fumble and is like, all right, not again. Like we gotta
no more.
We gotta get into this. And so I want to strategize. And do I roll first, or do I talk about the play first?
You'll roll first because that'll kind of determine how good the play is.
Okay. Well, I think that the play actually capitalizes on like a weakness of the team.
Okay, cool.
So if that would maybe like make it better for me to for rolling wise,
roll plus one for each revealed strength or weakness from the enemy team that your plan plays around. So if the plan has to do with the dazed flyers, then yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that. You tell me if this makes any sense or if I'm stretching a little bit. So these dazed flyers, we are against them. They know Magnolia, correct? I think that something that the teams like that the angels know about us is like that, like really, I don't know, Reginald being like that like ace player, that power is just like crazy and bombastic and explosive. So I think there's like a certain amount of like spontaneity and like mixing things up and keeping things like new that maybe the legends are known for. I'm gonna set up a play that's like we stick to what we've been doing this week, like a really classic basic form for a certain amount of time, and then the second they get used to it, we surprise them, like we mix it up.
Okay.
Which yeah, I think takes advantage of the dazed flyers.
I'll give it to you. Yeah, okay. So how many die does that give you?
Well, now I think it just gives me one, because I have zero eye.
So, because you're overeager and that is a bonus die.
Oh, fuck me.
You'll actually be rolling zero. So,
well then, never mind.
You broke even in a way.
Hey,
that's kind of nice.
Well then.
I mean, I guess.
That's a little payback for Bianca's actually earlier.
I can't help it.
So roll twice to take the lower.
Okay. Three.
On any roll, lay out your game plan and its name. So yeah, we kind of know the plan. What's the name of this plan?
I'm going to call it Tried and True.
Tried and True. I like it. And then it just has one weakness. What is the weakness of this play?
The weakness, I think, is that, tell me if this makes sense or not, but like the second we reveal the like surprise, like it's over, like it can't work for long. It's like a one and done.
Sure.
I don't know if that's as easy to capitalize on.
No. Well, I think so. So it's predictable maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Does that sound kind of like...
Well, I mean, the whole thing of...
Not predictable.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be a surprise. But it's...
Well, they could break our form. I mean, the fact that it's predictable up until we surprise them is a weakness that we have to, like, play it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. At first, it is predictable. Yes.
And if we, like... So if they get in the way before we can finish the play clock.
Right.
If we don't get to the surprise, then we're just playing it.
Then we're messed.
I see. Yeah.
Right. A 4-4-2. You know what I mean?
It's the predictable part, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we'll say easily countered. That's the weakness.
Okay. And then I can spend a hold to remove a weakness from a play clock. Does that mean we can have a play clock that has no weaknesses?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you could remove the weakness from it. It also has no strengths, so it is just sort of a floater. It is just a sort of nothing. But I think you can
it's
do
tried
that.
And true.
That at least
tried
like,
and true, guys.
That gets rid there. Of one exploit that your enemies could use. So yeah, you can do that.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna spend that hold and remove that weakness.
So yeah, your tried and true has no strengths. It has no weaknesses. It's just sort of like this is what we do when we're backed into a corner. I actually kind of like the vibe of that. I'm gonna say that this is a six track. And let's leave it at that. It's a six track. Okay.
Cool. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to power up.
Okay. Very nice.
See. Power up. Great. When you draw the deep well of power inside of you, will power. So plus one means I just roll one die, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, cool. I got a six.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's see. On any roll, increase your power by one for the rest of the key moment. There you go. Boom.
It's not a crit because it's just the 1-6. But that is... That's great. So you've strategized, you powered up. It looks like Spica is kind of becoming... kind of taking the place after Magnolia's fumble to sort of become the center of the game plan of this. You are doing this maneuver where you're kind of doing like standard plays, but every once in a while you all throw a signal to switch something up completely and try to take the enemy team by surprise. It's enough for you all to keep holding on, but nothing is really changing in the momentum of the game, and you all aren't any closer to winning this key moment, though now you have an avenue at least to do so.
Is strategize a game move itself, and I can't make a regular game move after that?
Yeah, it's a game move because you did it during the game. If you strategize, you could also do it on the break,
okay.
Right? I think. My line.
But I will say, actually,
okay. Here we go.
The text says, okay.
Yeah,
whenever the team has no current play clocks, the next player to act can strategize for free. Otherwise, a player can strategize as a normal move during either a game or a break.
Oh, okay, cool. So I guess, yeah, you did make two free moves, so we'll just say that that's good for you. Since strategize would be free and then power up would also be free.
Yes.
So I'll say two free moves equals a regular move.
Cool.
And you're all set with that.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Good job, Beyond Book. I'm going to need that so many times, I think.
Resident librarian on the case.
Hell yeah. As this is happening... As Spica, you are doing your best to sort of take control over this game. Magnolia, it's just starting to come to terms to you, sort of like your own, perhaps not mortality, but perhaps the limits as your co-flyer, this kind of honestly younger version of you,
yeah,
is now the one trying to like rally and take control from your earlier fumble. And the pressure to prove yourself is only going to increase for you. You're going to move your pressure up by one.
Okay. That makes sense.
What does it feel like for Magnolia as you see Spica sort of stepping more in front of you?
I think the main thing is that it's really, really loud. I think that, like, Magnolia is just, like, suddenly aware of, like, how many people are there and are watching and the way that they are all screaming. It's as if she is in the audience with them and not on the court anymore.
Yeah.
And so the pressure to, like, get back out there and be like, I am still alive. I am still a part of this team. I can do this.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, as that, like, sort of pressure is increasing for you, as you realize that, like, this was the first game of the last season of your career.
Yeah.
Empire flies by you and sort of gives you an encouraging nod and says, stay in this, Magnolia. I want to beat you at your best. And that's where we'll stop.
Oh!
This has been Beyond the Fray, a Pod Has Been Cast production. This episode was edited by David Moreland, with music direction from Carlos Olmedo. Original music by Smallhounds. Check out their debut album, Triangles, wherever you get your music. Additional music and sound effects listed in the episode description. Find us on our website, thephbcast.com. On Instagram, @thepodhasbeencast. And please rate, review, and subscribe. Hall of Patrons! Welcome to the Hall of Patrons, where we honor those patrons that have gone the extra mile in supporting this podcast. They have been cast nude in marble statues for all to see and to gaze upon their glory. I'm talking about statues of Omar, Big Daddy Dumper, Amir, Emily B., Desmond Universe, Warren Daly,
Arlo Howard, Adrian, the human highlight reel, Olives, Todd Allworm, Michael Sepcott, Matt Hunter, Sam Weissman-Haller, Zachary S. Zimbal, Aaron Jansen Silic, Jace 93, David Moreland, Elijah Sloan, Sarah Harrison, Jerrica Hookie, Zelda S., Rhea Strong, and my big brother Juan. Thank you, Patreons. If you want to be like these naked, beautiful, glistening statues, head on over to patreon.com and help us out at any tier you feel comfortable giving. Every little bit helps, and we love all of our Patreons. We have different gifts for different levels. Our highest tier will get you a shout out on the show, and at all tiers you get access to our exclusive Discord and perhaps a little bit of content coming your way every month. Who knows? But as always, thank you, patrons.
Hey, I love you, darling. Now get the hell out of my house. Bye.